Resolve our little faith in peace, that we may fail anymore. But fix on thee a steady eye, and on thine outstretched arm rely, till all the storm is over. 179.
Thank you. verse 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. Yet are people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands as in the king's palaces. And the Gospel of John. Chapter 6. This is has to do with their verse 9, feeding the multitude. Verse 5 says, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes, they saw a great company come unto him. In verse 9, there is a lad here which had five barley loaves and two small fishes. But what are they among so many? Verse 12. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten.
There's a thought that has, statement that has been made within the last couple of years, that one is gathered that it caught us by surprise. We're not aware of it. In 1 Kings, chapter 12, and verse 15, wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people. Now here's the statement. For the cause was from the Lord. Now we turn back into the 11th chapter. We find that a prophet went to Jeremiah or Jeroboam and took his garment and rent it in 12 pieces and gave Jeroboam 10. It's a new garment, I believe. And then he goes on to say in the 33rd verse, because that they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in mine eyes, and to keep my statutes and my judgments, as did David his father. Howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him prince in all the days of his life for David, my servant's sake, whom I chose, because he kept my commandment and my statutes. And then in the end of the 36th verse, David, my servant, may have a light always before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen me to put my name there. The statement that is goes like this: to regard the second cause will lead to practical infidelity. And in visiting with different ones, one has gathered that, well, what do you mean, first and second cause? And perhaps it's not so here today. Trust not. But one heard that statement years ago, never really spending a lot of time in consideration of it. But then in recent years, one was visiting with another brother and referred to something about the first cause. And he says, there's an article, a statement about that in the collected writings. And he referred me to the volume and the page, and I got it out and looked at it. And that's what it says. If I regard second causes, it will lead to practical infidelity. So what is first cause? Brethren, the first cause is God. The first cause is God. Simple, isn't it? How can it be otherwise? The first cause is God. One mentions this because the statement has been made, why should a problem so far away affect us or me here? It cannot be otherwise. If we are to demonstrate the truth of the one body, it cannot be otherwise. If one member suffers, we all suffer. Isn't that true? It's supposed to be. Scripture tells us so. So if someone is having trouble on the West Coast and I'm in association with them, I'm going to be affected. It cannot be otherwise. But what is the cause? What is the cause? That's why one read these verses in the previous chapter. There was a reason. The children of Israel had failed. We have failed. And so there is a cause. God will allow it to go as long as he allows. And then he's going to come in. And he is going to act. And for me to challenge why he acts, or to blame someone else why he acts, is second cause. I cannot look at my brother or my sister and blame him for what has happened. God is first cause. He has allowed it. Because we have turned. We have failed. We have gotten other things before us. Some gift, some location, some this or that. But It was something besides Christ. It was something besides his son. And so we find this verse here. The cause was from the Lord. Why this was allowed for Jeroboam and Rehoboam was because Israel had failed. They had taken up other gods. They had followed others. The God of Israel was no longer sufficient. There were other things, there were other interests that was of more importance than the God of Israel. The God that led them out of Egypt and brought them in to a land of promise, a land of blessing. And beloved, that is what's happened to us. God has chosen his people, all his people, and you and I, especially included, for a blessing. As it has been referred to, the comment about that they may be one, that we may be one. That was his point, that we may be one. Is that how we're acting? Is that how we're acting? No, certainly not. We are acting, each one that is right in his own eyes. My wisdom is sufficient now. God has failed here or there. He made a wrong decision, so I cannot accept it. Well, we have other gods before us. And so, with Israel, he had to come in and deal with them. Rehoboam acted badly, but the cause was from God. Because he saw what was taking place. And he's going to deal with them. And he is dealing with us. And we are of necessity to bow and own that it is his cause, the first cause. Young people, especially, remember the first cause. Whatever the difficulty that you may have in the path, especially in the path of faith, the path of separation. I might just make a comment in regard to separation. There was a time visiting in a home that a young mother said, I do not say anything about separation to my children. What do you think of that? Can we say that that is God's mind? We find separation in the very beginning and all the way through. There is the need of separation. Separation unto truth. And he is... He is the source of it, separated unto God. And the, since we act this way, he is going to come in and remind us that he is master and Lord and sovereign over his house. And what needs to come in, he will allow it to come. And so, if a difficulty comes, there is a first cause. Don't look at the fault of your brother or your sister or a decision. Look to God. God is the first cause. It's easy to look at second causes because that is our nature. Second cause is something I can see. Some second cause is something I can lay my hands on or I can deal with directly. First cause is beyond me. And I have to bow and deal with first cause and own that the Lord is Lord and sovereign. And so it is in his hands. Now, we find in this portion that that he would have a light always before me, he would say, in Jerusalem. In the city. Well, you know, in Luke 22, the Lord told his disciples to go into the city. Go into the city. And there you will find a place. There you will find the man with a pitcher of water. Beloved, I think it's lovely to see that he has kept a place, that there will be a light. It's his work. Do I want to be a part of it? Am I willing to take the low place as we've been having before us this morning? Do I want to be a help to my people, to the Lord's people, excuse me? Do I want to encourage them? Take the low place. Take the low place. And then we can be of help. That the city, these disciples that the Lord directed, he told them to go into the city and they would find a place. Subjection to the direction that he had given. And so they went and they found as he had spoken. As he had said, it's what they found. Not anything else but that. And in the day of today, it is the same. He has not changed. He has a place. City sometimes speaks of confusion. And in the midst of confusion, there is a place. A light. Think of it. There is a light in the midst of the confusion. A place that he has chosen. Now I believe that I have heard many times that there will always be a testimony. The question is, am I willing to pay the price? Am I willing to identify with it? Now, it may be only two or three. And that is a thought that so one may speak grabbed my attention. What we have read so many times in Matthew 18 and 20, where two or three are gathered. And I started just musing on that a little bit. And we see the vast of humanity and the vastness of the earth and the souls redeemed and otherwise on the face of the earth. And why does he say two or three? You would think he would say, well, were this group or were this, like in the thousands that were saved at Pentecost, why two or three? Because he knew that's what it would come down to. He knew that's what it would come down to. Two or three. But he said, where two or three are gathered under my name, there am I in the midst. So he's going to have a light in the midst of this, in the city. And it is what? Which I have chosen to me to put my name there. He has a place where he is putting his name. And the thing is, beloved, it is not for our sakes. Like with Israel, he carried them through. He said it because for my own name's sake. He had said it. Now, if it had failed to materialize, he would have been, speaking reverently, responsible for the failure. But he said, for mine own name's sake, would he do it? And he is doing it. And he will, in regard to Israel, he is going to have them back. He has got to, because he's promised it. And so, with the church today, he has promised it. He cannot change. He will be there where the two or three are gathered under his name. But remember, there is the first cause. And if I forget the first cause, I am very apt to lose sight of that light in the city where he has placed his name. And so I just had these few thoughts, and I didn't know if the younger ones and perhaps the older had heard the expression, I trust you had, of first cause. But it's there. And this verse was, my eye caught it recently, and it threw me back to what this old brother had written about first cause. And it appeared to me that many had not heard them. And so one felt inclined to impress that today. Remember it, young people, and we are old. In the difficulties that we have, there is a first cause. I think there's a hymn, though, something like, the cause was thine, thine only it could be. Not sure if I quote that correctly, but I do know in the last hymn in our book, number 85, that has the cause there. But it's his cause, beloved. Remember that the Lord is over all. He is sovereign. And he is working things out for his own name's sake. And he is going to have us. Not only us, but all the redeemed about himself. He is going to have it in spite of us. We do everything we can to hinder or to thwart his work, but it cannot be done. He will have us about himself in that day. But how marvelous and what a privilege it is if we can remember him and be in the place where he'd have us to be today until he comes. The first cause is his cause, not my brother's, not anyone else's, but it's his cause. May I bow to his cause, because his purpose is love toward you and I, and he would have us about himself.
When the brother was speaking a little bit about first causes, I was thinking a little bit what we had in our reading at home with the children, and we've been reading in Genesis, and the story of Joseph, and us as individuals, as well as collective, and what Joseph said to his brethren after they had sold him into Egypt, and he had become, and all that Joseph went through in his life. We all know the story of Joseph and how he was mistreated, and how there was many things in his life, how he was mistreated by his brethren and sold to be a slave, and then how he ended up in prison. And there was a man that I felt had first cause in his life. He knew, we never have Joseph, whether in the house of Potiphar, you don't have Joseph in that complaining, murmuring spirit. You have him taking everything from God, and God prospered him. And him. But I was thinking of first cause and how when he finally he interprets the dreams and he is made a ruler over the land, and his first dreams came true. And I think of when he saw his brother Judah, and in the 44th chapter of Genesis, when he saw his brother Judah, who had suggested that he should be sold, and Joseph had worked it out that the cup was in, if we all remember the story, the cup was in Benjamin's sack, and Benjamin was going to remain to be a slave, and Judah says no. He has care for his father. He has care for his brother Benjamin, and he says, "I will be the slave." The Lord has worked with Judah, and there's been a big change in Judah. And then we come down to the 45th chapter. It says, "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them and that stood by, and he cried, 'Cause every man to go out from me.' And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, 'I am Joseph, doth my father yet live?' And his brethren could not answer him, for they trembled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, 'Come near to me, I pray you.' And they came near, and he said, 'I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath there been, for these 2 years hath famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God has sent me before you to preserve you a prosperity in the earth and to save your life by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God.'" And that's first cause. If you would see Joseph and... And if I have seen some in my own heart, and when things happen in my life, if I don't see first cause, if I don't take it from the Lord, and what happens, I look at the cause and the reasons. Their hurts can come in. Joseph could have been what? A very bitter man. He wouldn't have been prosperous as a bitter man. He wouldn't have been prosperous as an angry man in self-pity and in doubt and saying things like, "I don't deserve all this." Why? As a martyr, you might say, saying, "Look at all these things that happened to me unfairly." And he could have... stayed in that state, and if he did, and he didn't look to the Lord, it would have been devastating in his life. But we know that he did feel those things. And when I was thinking about the health we've had about in 1 Peter 5, when to feed the flock of God and to take the oversight thereof, and that the younger is to submit to the elder, and yea, all of you be subject one to another, and to be clothed with humility. I was thinking about health, our being healthy, our healthy a family, a healthy assembly, our healthy individual. Joseph was a healthy individual who went through a lot of trial. When trial comes into our life, we can either take it from the Lord, or we don't take it from the Lord, we just look at circumstances. And if we look at circumstances, it has a devastating effect in our life. It can have a real devastating effect. And I was thinking in John 8, and in John 8:32, I've mentioned some of these things locally before, and I hope my brethren won't mind. But and verse 30 it says, "And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." I'd like to apply this to Joseph. Joseph was free. He was free in his soul. There was many circumstances that happened to Joseph, but yet he was free. He could have come into bondage. It was the cause of God, what God had revealed to him and what God had shown him. And he could have wondered how it would all come to pass, you know, those early dreams he had. He could wonder how that could all come to pass. But God was working. He says, "Be not angry with yourselves, nor grieved with yourselves." He says, "But what did they do?" If you remember what those brothers did, he says, "God has sent me." God sent him. Now, if we look, we are responsible before God. We're not. Joseph was not responsible for what his brothers did to him, was he? He was not responsible to the way he was illy treated. He was not responsible for what Potiphar's wife said about him. But he was responsible to take it from the Lord and to be before the Lord in it all. He was responsible to do that. And do you know that if I have hurt feelings, when the scripture says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free," if you can take everything from the Lord, as a brother said, first cause, you know, that brings you, that makes you healthy, like Joseph was. You're not going on and, how would I say, a person that goes on and it tells you all they want to tell you about is their own problems and how many bad things they had happen to them. They're not healthy. They're not healthy. They're not taking it from the Lord. And if we as an assembly or as individuals do that, what needs to liberate us is the truth. It's discipleship the Lord Jesus is talking about. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." When you come to the point when you can take it from the Lord and you can take responsibility for your own hurts, what happens when somebody gets hurt? How does the enemy work? Who do we meet today? The father of lies. And when we meet the father of lies and the enemy causes us to be hurt, And then when somebody pushes us, what do we want to do? In the flesh, we push back. When somebody gets hurt, what do? They hurt others or hurt somebody else. That's not Joseph. Joseph took it from the Lord. He took first causes. He did not push back. He did not hurt others. He did not go. He was at liberty. He was at liberty in his soul. He did not strike out. And I guess that's something that has really struck home in my own soul, and to experience some of that, is that I am is taking first causes, as the brother said, that I am responsible. You know, we say, be angry, the scripture says, be angry and sin not. But even if I, there's a way to be angry. If I get hurt like Joseph did, and I hold bitterness or resentment, it says, sin not. If I have that in my heart, I've become in bondage. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I'm getting in bondage. And if I get into that state, what I'm getting at is people have never, if you tell people they're responsible for their own hurts, you're responsible for your own hurts if you take first causes. You're responsible in your life how you deal with those things. Because a lot of people I meet, and they don't want to take responsibility for their own hurts. And why'd you push him? Because he pushed me. Or there can be a hurt in somebody's life that you have not got before the Lord about, and you have not been delivered about in knowing the truth, and it has affected your whole life. It can affect your whole life. Joseph's life could have been totally ruined if he would have been in that state. And if there is a seed in your life, a bad seed, I might say, what you sow, that shall you also reap. If there's a hurt in your life that you don't bring before the Lord, and the truth does not liberate you from, it'll destroy you. It will destroy you.
I'd like to close with just tying Brother Lyle and Brother Denny's exhortations to us together from the 105th Psalm. Psalm 105 and verse 17. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. And then this expression, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. Well, I would like to connect those two brothers' exhortations. When Brother Denny spoke, he spoke to us about that first time that the Lord expressed Jerusalem as the place where the Lord would place his name. And that because of first causes, God had reduced that nation and further reduced them, you might say, to two or three gathered to the Lord's name. And then Brother Lyle has been bringing before our hearts that we can't look at anything in our life as at second causes. I mean, we want to blame our wives or our brethren or our presidents or whatever, but everything is from the Lord. But it says in this verse, the word of the Lord tried him. Well, I think that means that Joseph had the promise And that's what got him in trouble with his brethren. He had that promise that the stars would bow down to him. And it's what raised envy and hatred in his brethren's eyes. But he had that early promise. But to buy the truth of it, he went through all of this suffering. And the hope of that promise sustained his soul. All the while he was rejected of his brethren, cast into prison, he kept these promises by faith in his heart, and the word of the Lord tried him. It's like the Lord would say when Joseph might start to get discouraged in prison, "Joseph, you remember those promises I gave you?" And Joseph would say, "I remember, Lord, and I'm not going to give up now. Here I am in prison. Here I am rejected. I'm not going to give up now. I got discouraged, a false accusation. Maybe he started to get discouraged. The Lord came to him. Joseph, remember those promises I made you? You would be ruler over all the land. I remember, Lord." And the word of the Lord sustained him and kept him from getting discouraged and from becoming bitter, as our brother Lyle brought out. Well, brethren, we're at that crisis in our lives. And we're going to either get discouraged and give up, or that promise of the Lord. What brought you and me here, brethren? Well, we heard that where two or three were gathered together into the name of the Lord at Jerusalem, that's where the Lord had placed his name. Well, have trials come in? That promise of the Lord will sustain our souls and keep us from becoming bitter and keep us from giving up. And just remember, brethren, we're either going to rest our souls on the precious word of God, or we are going to get discouraged and we are going to give up. So in a certain way, brethren, where we are this afternoon, the word of the Lord is trying us. Do we believe the Lord is in the midst of even two or three? This thing is from the Lord. It's a first cause from the Lord. But the word of the Lord itself is testing our hearts. Well, let's say, "Yea, Lord. When I was gathered to thy name, I believed thou art in the midst. Thou wast in the midst, and I believe it today. And by God's grace, I'm going to stay there, Lord Jesus, until he breaks our fetters and sets us free, and we shall there reign forever with him in glory." But until then, brethren, the word of the Lord is testing us. Is it going to be sufficient to sustain our souls when all around us is against us?
Can we sing the last two verses of 316? 316, the last two verses. Okay.